Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and this is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, this evening. And the header that I have on this is what?
The privilege of holiness.
Right. It's a privilege for us to be able to be holy. We don't have to be because we're free moral agents, and the Lord says that we choose our destiny. We have the right to choose whether we want to go to the kingdom of heaven or whether we want to go to the pits of hell and into the lake of fire. The Lord said, I just read the translation today. I looked it up where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. People think that Jesus went away to prepare a mansion for us, but he said a place for us. Amen?
Amen.
A place for us in heaven. So it translates out, in my Father's house are many rooms. There's only one, there's not a lot of mansions. There's like rooms, amen, where the Father lives in one body, amen?
Amen.
There's only one body. So I wouldn't go through this for a house or a mansion because I want the Lord God to room in me. I want him to live in me. And every person that wants to enter the kingdom of heaven will do it. And the Lord says that we must abide in him. He said, a branch, he said, he's the Father is the gardener or the farmer, and he is the vine, and we are the branches. Apart from him, the branch cannot abide apart from him. The branch has to abide in him. And if the branch is abiding in the Lord, if we as branches abide in the Lord, will be consistent on a daily basis. We won't be hot one day and cold the next because we live by being fused into the vine. If we live apart one day from the vine, and then we cannot reattach ourselves back into the vine. Try to do that with a branch off of a tree. The branch of a tree cannot abide by itself. It must be in the tree. You break a vine off, a branch off of a vine, and it's not going to be able to live either. But the Bible says that the Lord, that if you don't abide in him, you will not bear any fruit. But if you abide in him, it'll be on a consistent basis. You have to be in the Lord on a daily basis. And if you are, you're going to consistently do a day of work. You're not going to have any ups and downs because we live by the vine. The branches live by the vine, and the branches bear fruit, much fruit, because we're getting the spirit, the branches, the life from the vine. Got that?
Amen.
All right. And so many people in the world, you know, they call themselves Christians, and they say they can fall away. And some say they've fallen away for 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, a month, a week. Take a branch off of a tree and let's see if it's going to be still alive after a year or two, or a month even. He'll dry up and wither. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what happens when people say they have fallen away from the Lord for 20 years and they'd like to move into our church. They never work out. They never work out because they're dead branches. And the Lord says that they get heaped up into a heap of branches and then they're burned because they can't bear fruit anymore. They're worthless. So apart from me, Jesus said, you cannot abide. If you're not, you cannot bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That is spiritual of the Lord. And so then again, the title of this is what?
The privilege of holiness.
So we have to be holy, and we can't be holy apart from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because he is the vine. We are the branches. And so, read it again.
The privilege of holiness.
So it's a big privilege to be holy. It's a privilege to be able to bear fruit. And there's a great reward for it. We are able to spend an eternity, which is forever, in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can have the privilege if you want it, if you choose. It has to be your will to be the will of the Father. Or you can choose to just live a wild, unruly life, live a life in the wilderness, out in the world, and then, in the end, spend eternity in the lake of fire, burning, and in agony forever. And, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if it was just one day. That would be bad enough. But for eternity, that never ends. It just keeps going on and on and on. People have, their brains are not sharp enough, or they're so far gone, so far apart from Jesus, from the Word of God, that they have no realization of what eternity means. I mean, people should, instead of paying so much attention to getting a life of in universities and studying and preparing for some kind of a job in this world, they should forget about that and start preparing for the kingdom of heaven for eternity. Get into the vine so they become a branch so that you can have life. Because life, there's no guarantee that we're going to live another day. And so you best be getting busy making your decision as a free moral agent to accept the privilege of being a Christian. Because then you may say, I think it's too crowded in heaven, but in my Father's house, Jesus said, are many rooms. Many rooms. He wants to room in you. He wants to live in you. And he wants you to abide in him, in the vine. And if you're abiding, you're not going to be up and down every day. One day up, 2 days down, a week down, a month, a year. You're going to be alive every day because Jesus is the life. Okay? And remember, apart from him, we can do nothing but wither and die and be dead branches. So, Father, we ask that you anoint chapter 7 here of Deuteronomy. And let us learn that it is a great privilege, the greatest privilege in the world, to become one with you, Father, with you, Jesus. There's only one God, Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. And we know that when Jesus, you enter us by the Holy Spirit, that the Father comes with you, the fullness of the Godhead. The Bible, your word says, Father, that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that in him we are complete, totally complete. And so why not be complete on a daily basis? Because it's impossible to be a branch one day and then fall on the ground the next, and then be a branch another day, and then be on the ground for a week or two or a year. These kind of people that talk about backsliding, that's Old Testament garbage. The New Testament, because they had a right to come and get forgiven and forgiven after they committed sin. But in Jesus, he said he died once for us and there's no more sacrifices. He said, now I'm alive forevermore. I'm not going to die anymore. So now we have the power to stand living in us. He stated in his word, you stated, Father, Lord, in Jesus, because every word that Jesus said was your words. Jesus said so. The words that I speak unto you are the Father, not mine own, but it's the Father. And the deeds that I do, the miracles, the miraculous things I do, are not mine own, but it's the Father doing it. And the Father wants to live in you, and both of us want to abide in you, as I abide in the Father. So, Lord, we know that if we have the privilege, we're fine if we continue on in well-doing. There's all these contingencies, all these ifs in the Word of God. If we abide in the vine, if we continue on in well-doing, if we bear fruit. But if we decide not to, then are we dead? Lord, teach us to abide in you and to read the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. I notice, Father, that this comes true so much that when these words are spoken again and haven't been spoken for a while or haven't been read for a while, people get shocked because some people have a habit of drifting away from the vine. Lord, teach them that this is impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven or do anything in this world for you without abiding in you. When you're abiding in us, then it is the work of God, because you're God. And all the fruit comes from you. A tree, if a branch falls off, is still alive. And so, you live eternally, Father, and we must abide if we want to. But we also have the privilege to fall away and live a wild life here, an unruly life, and then, of course, the consequences. Lord, teach everyone, every hearer of this tape, all the lessons that you're going to give. Anoint this, the words, and anoint me to where I interject with commentary whenever it is that you want commentary, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, the privilege of holiness. King James Version, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee.
You hear that? It says the Lord will bring us into the kingdom of heaven. Apart from him, he cannot bring us into the kingdom of heaven because we're not in him. Amen?
Amen.
So, this, the promised land, is symbolic or a metaphor of that which is to come, which is the kingdom of God. So, the Lord brings us into the kingdom of God by us abiding in him. No other way. He said, there is no other way than my way, he said. There is no other truth to get to the Father, but by his truth, and there's no other life. I am the way to heaven, the truth to heaven, and I am the life that gets you into heaven and keeps you fit for heaven. These are the fundamental truths of the gospel. Apart from me, you can do nothing to enter heaven, Jesus said. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou.
Yeah, so he says, the people of this world are greater than we are, apart from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But in the Lord, we're more than conquerors, okay?
Amen.
If we're living inside of the vine, and that vine is God, then there's no nation greater than us, but apart from the Lord. If we're apart from the vine, we're nothing. We can't do anything against them. That means they will destroy us, the Lord said. And he'll let them. As a matter of fact, he'll sick them on you. Okay? All right, then what?
Verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them.
Yeah, this is a God of love. Don't show mercy on people. All these people today preaching that God is a merciful God to every sin in the face of this earth. And the Bible plainly tells you that in the New Testament, that he is not merciful. And he says, and they shall die without mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Because you know that you have to abide in the Lord in order for you to have life, because he's the life. How could you possibly expect to have life outside or apart from him? So you know very good and well that that's it, and so you must crucify your flesh. The Lord gave this opportunity by walking into the door, walking through the door of death. He had to die in order to make it possible for us to be able to live. He had to die so that he could become, to die, go to hell, resurrect from the dead, and ascend into the kingdom of heaven in order to become the Holy Spirit to live in us. So he had to walk through the door of death. He's the door. And if we want people to see his example in us, we have to walk through the door of death ourselves. We have to come to the door. He's the door of death. In other words, give up our old, dead, fruitless, sinful life, so that he can resurrect us and that we can he can live in us, because he's not going to live in sinners. So he can live in us so that a work of God can be done by him and his Father and the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen?
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen?
It gives me cold shivers just to think about it. Praise the Lord. It's
Amen.
So profound. Amen?
Amen?
All right, then what?
Verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them.
You're not to have... Why? How can a person that's alive in God marry a dead person? Or how can you do business with a dead person? Now, you can hire them to work for you, but you're not to be a partner with them in business or a partner with them in marriage. You see all these people in different on television that are in supposed to be Christian ministries, and they're saying, well, I got married to this man, and he was unsaved, and I thought that by him living with me that he would become saved. That's directly against the commandment of the Lord. If he's unsaved now and he's not affected by the life of Christ living in you, which I doubt lives in you, otherwise you wouldn't make a decision that is contrary to the Lord, how do you expect for him to respect you, to believe the gospel? The Bible says you're not to have anything to do with them in marriage or in business. Amen?
Amen.
Like you say, you can go down to the grocery store. You don't know if the guy that owns it is saved, but you're going in there to get something to eat. That's all. You're not uniting yourself with him in his school of thought or the way he lives. You can go and buy a car, because the guy that owns the car dealership, you don't know if he's saved or not. You just take the kick the tires and run the car around the block a few times, and if it sounds good and the tires bounce back and the tread is there, well, you can take a spin in it, you know, and if you like it, then you can buy it. That's not uniting yourself with them, all right? Or if you rent a house from somebody, or buy a house from somebody that's not saved, just be a good testimony in front of them. You might, but you're not uniting with them as a business partner or a partner in life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son.
No, to an unsaved person. Well, you want to give your daughter to a dead man. To somebody that doesn't believe, that isn't united with the Lord, that isn't alive in Christ, but somebody that's not bearing fruit. The Lord wants you to be married to a person that bears fruit. Amen?
Amen.
That wins souls. Okay? And a godly woman wants to be married to a man that wins souls. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son.
No, why do you want to get your son mingled with some heretical woman? Like, there's men that want to marry some of the girls in the church, and they're not saved yet. And one of the young men left the church because I didn't. This one girl said, I don't believe she's saved at all. And so he left the church in Los Angeles because I didn't say, yeah, get married to an unsaved woman. And on top of that, if she's unsaved, she had no chance of being saved to somebody that weak that wouldn't make a stand so that she would shape up and get saved. Amen?
Amen.
But that's a poor excuse for getting saved, because you want a man or you want a woman. You should do that regardless as to whether you're going to be married. I was so tired of the women in the world that I was going to become a eunuch when I got saved. And God had to show me a vision of the wife that he wanted me to have. Otherwise, I would have. Because I was tired of these wicked, sinful females out in the world that were just plastic and surface. And I was so glad to know that there's something in this universe that's above the things that I kept seeing here on earth. Evil and wickedness and sinfulness. And I was very happy that God put me with this woman, Susie, and I would watch her look like crazy, because I'd bring souls up to her apartment to have her preach to them, and I'd give my testimony first. She'd have me do that, and then she'd come out, and then she'd start preaching to them, and then get them down on their knees, and they'd get saved. And then they'd come out on the streets with me, and we'd bring others up. And then pretty soon it kept multiplying to a huge crowd. And then Susie would come out there with us, and then we start praying people through on the street. And then somebody came to us and asked us if we'd get this man out of jail. He was in there for something, probably selling narcotics, I can't remember. And we said we would if he'd listen to us with the gospel. And so we got him out. He said he agreed to do that, and then we prayed him through. And then he invited us to preach at this dope den that he was running because there was a bunch of dopers in there. That was Carlos Avenue, our first church. We went in there, and every single one of them, the place was so packed out, there wasn't any place to hardly stand. And every one of them got saved, and that was the way, that was our first gathering place. And those were the first Christians that, of course, I won a few Christians, people to the Lord before that while we were living in this shack behind the gas station. Paid $60 a month for it, $65 or something. And we went on the streets. And that's, we got our own souls. You don't see us with television, on our television program, bringing souls all, from all over, inviting people on. We won those souls. Everyone that you saw on our television program, we won to the Lord. Now you look at these other TV programs, they come from everywhere. And they say, well, how did you get saved? We didn't have to ask the people that were on our television program that they got saved, because we're the ones that won them to the Lord. By preaching the gospel, that's how they got saved. And most of them, almost every single one of them got saved right out on the street where we were. And so that's the way it started. And then we were so packed out there that we had to find everywhere. That was Crescent Heights. And then because the bar owners on Sunset Boulevard and around Hollywood, they teamed up together and started paying the cops off to persecute us and the judges. And so the judges deemed us a public nuisance and told us that we had to move. Well, the Lord wanted us to move because everything is of the Lord. And so we moved out to Saugus, and where we still are. We got an old restaurant out there. And then we opened a church in there. It was an old nightclub, and we prayed the demons out of the place and moved in there, and we opened up a lot of properties out there. We started buying other properties. We bought them on the time payment plan. We didn't have any big money because hippies didn't have money. We had to go door to door to supermarkets and tell them, look, we just want a lot of people that ordinarily would be in your store stealing from you. And we just want to know if you got any day-old bread or anything that you could give us, because they're hungry and they're not on drugs anymore. And that makes this town a lot safer. And as a matter of fact, a few years later, Ronald Reagan sent Herb Ellingswood, his right-hand man, who also later, when Reagan became president, became the head of the federal government agents, all the federal government agents. That was Herb Ellingswood. And Herb really stated that Ronald Reagan wanted him to come to our church to commend us for cleaning up Los Angeles, the drug problem, and the riot problem. And this is how our church began. And we were just primarily in Los Angeles at the time, and now they've done everything in their power, the government agents and media and the Vatican, because we traced everybody that's persecuting us, and they were all Vaticanized. They were all Catholic, every single one of them. And so even though they persecute us, we were like the Jews in Exodus 1:12. The more they persecute us, the more we grew and multiplied. Amen?
Amen.
That's Exodus 1:12. And now we're worldwide.
Amen.
So Satan cannot stop. If we abide in the vine, then we are more. Then the nations are not stronger than us. But the Lord's telling these people here that I'm going to destroy nations for you that are stronger than you. And the one world government is stronger than us if we're apart from the Lord. So it's so important for everyone to make sure that you're consistent in being a branch in the vine. Otherwise, you will really be in a lot of trouble, not only with the people of the world, but with, I don't mind that trouble, but if the Lord is after me, if he's angry at me, that's when you're in real trouble. There's no trouble like that. That's the most fearful thing in the world. for me is to have God hot at me. Because it says he destroys them. He is not just a God of love. He's a God of wrath. He hates also. He loves and he hates. He makes alive and he kills. And he's a terrorist to those that don't do what he says. All right, continue on.
Verse 4. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against
See,
you.
See, the anger of the Lord? Well, they said, God is his love and peace. No, I don't want God to be angry at me. Because the Bible, all the way through Old and New Testament, says he gets angry and full of wrath and indignation. And he's a terrorist to those that oppose him. Okay, then what?
So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly.
Yeah, even his chosen people, the Lord will be angry. His anger will be kindled against them. Amen?
Amen.
The Jews. Do you think that God would have let them all die, 10 million of them in the gas chambers, or 6 million, however many it was, in Germany and in Poland and Czechoslovakia, if they were in the vine?
No.
No way. No way. No way. And the Lord lovingly did that to get some of them to try to repent. Say, look, if the Messiah, if a Jew will say, Father, if the Messiah is really Jesus, show me, and God will show every Jew. He'll show you a sign for sure. So if you're a Jew and you're hearing my tape, do that. You don't have to say it publicly. Just say it in your closet or wherever you are, in your car. Say, Father, if Jesus is really the chosen one, the Messiah, if he's really God Almighty come to this world in the flesh to die for our sins, then show me. God will show you if you're a Jew. And he'll do that, I believe, if you're really sincere with him, even if you're a Gentile. Okay, then what? If you'll read his word, he'll show you too. Right, for sure. Then what?
Verse 5. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves.
Now remember, this is God of love saying all this, right?
Amen.
Sounds like he's a God of destruction, doesn't it?
Amen. Yes.
Where does it say he's a God of love in here? It's more destruction of that the Lord talks about that he is than love. You know who's telling you that is Antichrist, people that call themselves Christian. They're liars, they're demons, they're devils, they're seducing spirits. They don't love you, they want your soul destroyed. They want you to think that God is a Casper milquetoast, that he just lets everybody sin. He says the soul that sins shall die. He says the wages of sin is death, destruction, eternity in the lake of fire, hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
And burn their graven images with fire.
That's God talking. Let's learn the true personality of God instead of living in like Alice in Wonderland or, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, okay? There's nothing like that in the Bible. You have to go to Disney for that kind of garbage. Okay, what else?
Verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people.
Right, that's why God wants to show his power in that which looks weak. And, you know, the Christians, we look weak to the world power, you know, because we don't have television to, you know, beat our chests like this, like they do. We're the most powerful nation in the world. We're the strongest for this and that. You see, Bush saying, I'm a man of war. God is a man of war. Amen?
Amen.
And you're a little shrimp, Mr. Bush, okay? You're retarded, too. A moron, for God's sake. Who told you that? Your mother? Okay, what else?
Verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen.
Yeah, the Lord's mighty hand, not your mighty hand or mine. If we're in the, he's the vine, and he's the gardener, the vine dresser. Amen?
Amen.
The God, the Father, and the Lord is the vine, and we're just branches. We can do anything he can do as long as he's doing it through us. Amen?
Amen.
He said that in his word. Then what?
And redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant.
And yeah, know that he's God, not Bush, not the United Nations. That's nothing. They're just made out of the same material that ants are. Ants are made out of dirt. Amen?
Amen.
And so are we. All right. In order for us to be used by the Lord, to be part of the Lord, we have to abide in him. Then we're part of him. And there's no weapon that can be that's formed that can destroy us. Amen?
Amen.
Or that can be against us in any way. I don't care. Get the atomic bomb out. These megatons of whatever y'all got out there. Get them. Even if you blow us up, we never die.
Amen.
You're wasting your stinking time. You understand? Okay? Brezhnev, Gorbachev. I know it's Gorbachev. I'm just kidding. Okay? Or Bush, or, Saddam Hussein, or whoever you are. All of you out there, Satan. You're nothing. You're condemned, and the world is condemned with you. Okay? All your troops. You're finished. It's over. You're over with. All right? Then what else?
He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments.
See, now, he only keeps covenant with those that keep covenant with him. It's a two-way street. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the covenant, there's a blood covenant. Drinking the blood of Jesus means that you're keeping the blood covenant with him. So he says, okay, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And he said, but if you keep my covenant, if you keep my commandments, that's the covenant. So you make a covenant to keep his commandments, and then he keeps the blood covenant with you. If you don't keep your part of the bargain, then he says that you've left and forsaken him. You're like a branch that doesn't abide any longer. And he casts you into a bunch of other dead branches and has you burnt. It's all contingent on your keeping the blood covenant, drinking the blood of Jesus and eating his flesh, which means you're eating the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And the covenant is, when you keep covenant with him, you're drinking his blood. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. If you can't, you can't. You're not his. Okay? And if you don't let him wash your feet, the disciples, as an example for others to wash each other's feet in love, then you don't belong to him, he said. You don't belong to me. Then Peter says, oh, wash me all over. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments.
Yeah, but only with those that love him and keep his commandments. See, that's the covenant, that keep the covenant. That drink the blood, right?
Right.
That's the only ones he keeps covenant with. Except he's got another covenant. He says, if you don't, he's going to burn you, right?
Right.
Okay? It's a promise. All right, what else?
To 1,000 generations.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10. And repayeth them that hate him to their face. To destroy them. He will not be slack.
Wait a minute. I thought this is a God of love. He's going to, if you don't do what he says, he's going to destroy you. Yup. Yup. That's what we say up in Montana. Okay? Just go see a Gary Cooper movie. He says, yep. No, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just kidding. Then what? Yes, in other words. Okay, what else?
He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face.
Then what?
Verse 11, Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day.
Well, see, they say, well, he came as a servant. He never commands anybody to do anything. Because, he doesn't come as a master that just commands people to do stuff. What is this? Huh? What is los? Was is los here? Read that again. What is los?
Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes.
You shall keep the commandments, okay? That sounds like a master to me. Amen?
Amen.
And the disciple says, you are our Lord and our master. Amen?
Amen.
Are your teacher, okay? So don't say that he doesn't come here to be our Lord or Lord, be our Lord over us if we do what he says. He teaches us to do what he says. Okay? He says, go get the donkey. Get the water pots. Fill them up. Amen?
Amen.
You are my friend if you do whatever I tell you. Well, Lord, if I don't, am I your friend? No. Are you my friend then? No. So this is like commandments. Amen?
Amen.
I guess he's the boss of them. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if you want to go to get the privilege of going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Of being holy. Okay, then what?
Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes
you,
and the
you
judgments.
You shall keep them. That's like an order. Amen?
Amen.
That's even more strict than our chief in the Navy. He says, you'll do it or I'll send you to the nut house. This is a bigger threat. You do it or I'm going to send you to hell. Amen?
Amen.
I learned that from the chief, you know, petty officer, C Corps, at, you know, we had a meatball company, and the Lord wants a meatball company here. Either do it or get out. Amen?
Amen.
That's the God of love that tells you that's straight talk. Okay, then what?
Which I command thee this day to do them. Verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments.
If, okay. Does that sound like, what does the preacher say? I want you to say it. They tell you that it's not.
Unconditional.
They say God just loves you unconditional. And I look at different Bibles and it says God loves us unconditionally. No, it's if. Amen. There's a condition. The if is a condition. He says if, on the condition that you do what I say, then. What?
If ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy.
Yeah, so if you don't keep the covenant with me, then you've broken the covenant. But, you know, I'll never leave you or forsake you if you keep the covenant. Okay? Where do they get off? It's like they don't really take to heart what he's saying. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't pierce their dull spirit, their dull brain. Okay? They got not enough marbles up there. Amen? There's something wrong with people that want to go to hell and try to make believe that this isn't what the Bible says. That's why they want to take the Bible out of schools and out of government and out of your hands, because they don't want you to know what kind of a God he really is. But God wants you to know. And maybe I'm one of the last of the Mohicans, you know, to tell you. Okay? So you better listen. Maybe there won't be anybody around after I am here. Maybe I'll last longer than you all. Amen?
Amen.
Who knows what tomorrow brings? Or even tonight. Okay, what else?
That the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers.
That's if. Okay, then what?
Verse 13. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee.
Yeah, that's if. It's contingent. You know? It's conditional. He doesn't love you unconditionally to just, you know, run around like a loose cannon and do whatever you please. No, it's if you keep all these commandments and statutes, if you continuously abide in the vine. Capisce? Comprende? Capito? Verstehen? Okay, then what?
He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, that thy corn and thy wine and thine oil.
Yeah, you want all the blessings? Well, then just stay in the vine. I heard that there was a depression going on and the gas prices going up. I don't know nothing about that, right? I don't want to be bothered. Don't bother me with that, all right? Because the Lord's promised to pay for the gas, right?
Yeah.
And he does, all right? All right, then what?
The increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep.
Everything is going to increase, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Then what?
In the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee.
He swore it. So God isn't a liar. He can't lie. It's impossible. If he said it, that's the way it is. People say, well, he doesn't do that for me. Well, you don't stay abide in the Lord either, okay? Don't complain. No complaining, no explaining. The only thing is I'm explaining it, okay? Why you're on the ground, okay? Okay, then what else?
Verse 14. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will
right put... there, listen. If you abide in the vine, all sickness will be gone. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Well, you're sick or something? You must be not in the vine all the time, huh? Well, some people have got bad eyes, like Paul, because, you know, he wanted him to remember from where he fell, you know. And that isn't saying that you won't get sick at times, but the Lord always recovers you. I sometimes get sick is because I don't pray enough for myself, and I don't ask others to pray for me. Pray for me, okay, that I'll stay well, all right? And I know that God will do it, all right? Then what else? And Lord, you know, heal me in Jesus' name. Okay, what else?
And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness.
All sickness. Well, what about AIDS? Yeah, if you abide in the vine, AIDS are gone. Amen. Hey, that's the way it is. Okay, then what? What about heart disease, cancer? All, he said. I can't lie, die or fail. So just abide in the vine. You can't do anything or get healed or anything apart from him, all right? Amen. That's the way it is. Then what?
And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
Oh, God. Boy, there's a lot of people going to get some disease, right?
Amen.
Because I'm not one of the most popular people on earth. Okay, then what else?
Translation verse 1 through 15. The privileges of holiness. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are about to enter and occupy, you will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. These seven nations are all more powerful than you. Verse 2. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you, and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy.
Wow, that's God. No mercy. No mercy. But I thought God was a merciful God. Yeah, to those that love and keep his commandments. Don't you get it? Okay? But if you don't, there's no mercy for you. All right? Die, my darling. Die. Okay? That's what's going to happen. I mean, I'm just warning you friendly. That's love. Amen?
Yeah.
Can't you see that? Okay, what else?
This is the God of love. Verse 3. Do not intermarry with them, and don't let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters.
I've already explained this. Okay, then what else?
Verse 4. They will lead your young people away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will destroy you. Verse 5. Instead, you must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars. Cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols. Verse 6. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. Verse 7. The Lord did not choose you and lavish his love on you because you were larger or greater.
No, they were smaller. That's the way he shows his power, is to take something that looks inferior. But if it's united in, we look like little branches, but if we're in him, we're more than all the people in the world. Then what?
The Lord did not choose you and lavish his love on you because you were larger or greater than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations! Verse 8. It was simply because the Lord loves you and because he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. This is why the Lord rescued you with such amazing power from your slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. Verse 9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and constantly loves those who love him and obey his commands.
That's what? What is that?
He is the faithful God.
Okay, yeah, faithful God.
Who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and constantly loves those who love him and obey his commands.
So only if you love him and keep his commandments. Okay, that's it. He doesn't love everybody. He hates Esau. He loves Jacob. He hates the workers of iniquity, those that refuse his mercy. Yeah, just said it, right? Then what else?
Those who fear him and keep his commands. Verse 10. But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who hate him.
What does it say? Okay, what else?
Verse 11. Therefore obey all these commands, laws, and regulations I'm giving you today. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. If you listen to these regulations and obey them faithfully, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you.
It says if. Mm-hmm. What is that? Is that
condition?
That's conditional, not unconditional. He's a very conditional God. Everything with him is a condition. So, you know, all these preachers that say he loves you unconditional, just know when they're saying that to you that you're looking in the face of a liar. Okay? A devil, a demon. Okay, what else? I don't care how good they talk. Hitler talked good too. Okay? He got everybody going his way. But he wound up putting a bullet in his own head. He's a maniac. Okay, what else?
The Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you as he solemnly promised your ancestors. Verse 13. He will love you and bless you and make you into a great nation. He will give you many children and give fertility to your land and animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large crops of grain, grapes, and olives.
See, this is all the blessings of the Lord. Then comes the cursings. Okay, then what?
And great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. Verse 14. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young. Verse 15. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will bring them all on your enemies! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. Verse 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Verse 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt.
Yeah, the Israelites didn't do that. God did that to them. Okay, then what? God opened the Red Sea, not Moses. Amen?
Amen.
God rained down the bread of the manna on the ground, not Moses. And what else?
Verse 19. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Verse 20. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Verse 21. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible.
Oh, God's saying he's terrible. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, he is terrible to sinners. You don't want to run into a terrible God, do you? You want to run into the love side of God. There's two sides to that God. Amen?
Amen.
To our God. Just like there's two sides to a coin, right? Heads and tails. You don't want to be on the tail side, right? Okay, what else?
Verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. Verse 23, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Verse 24, and he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them.
Now, if we're abiding in the vine and not apart from it, no one can stand before us. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 25, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Verse 26. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing.
Now translation.
Verse 16 through 26. You must destroy all the nations the Lord your God hands over to you. Show them no mercy and do not worship their gods. If you do, they will trap you. Verse 17. Perhaps you will think to yourselves, quote, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? Unquote. Verse 18. But don't be afraid of them! Exclamation mark. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. Verse 19. Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent.
We have to remember that God destroyed the number one nation in the world at that time, all by himself. Amen?
Amen.
All by himself. The Jewish people didn't raise a finger. Okay? And he's the same God. What he did in Egypt, he can do to the, and he will do to the whole world. The whole world is going to be moved off its axis, the earth, and reel like a drunkard. Buildings will collapse. There's going to be tidal waves. There's going to be meteorites so big that it's going to cause tidal waves so high that they'll go so fast, hundreds of miles an hour, and wind up Arkansas be beachfront property. You know, Tennessee? You'd be able to go out to the beach out here. California be covered up. Okay, then what?
Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it all with your own eyes! Exclamation mark. And remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the amazing power he used when he brought you out of Egypt.
Yeah, all of you people saw it with your eyes, your own eyes, wide open. What he did. So don't be afraid of these little giants. What are they? Just stay in me. and I in you, and no one can hurt you. Get faith. Believe. Faith means that you trust what he's saying. Amen?
Yeah.
Then what?
The Lord your God will use the same power against the people you fear. Verse 20.
The very same power he did to Egypt, to those that you fear. So don't fear him. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm evidence of that. Do you think I fear anybody?
No.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. I've seen what he's done to different Christian organizations like Waco. And still, I'm coming on pretty strong. Amen?
Amen.
Telling them where, you know, what the Lord says. All right, then what else?
Verse 20, and then the Lord your God will send hornets to drive out the few survivors still hiding from you! Exclamation mark. Verse 21, no, do not be afraid of those nations, for the Lord your God is among you, and he is a greater and awesome God. Verse 22, the Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead of you, little by little.
Greater meaning that he's even greater than what he did in Egypt, because he's still got the world to destroy. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to burn it up, just like he drowned the world. Now he's going to burn it up. The whole thing, the whole planet and everything in it, the whole world. But we are not of this world, so we're not going to be burned. If you're abiding in the Lord, you're not of this world, so he's not going to burn you up. Amen?
Amen.
The whole world is deceived, but not us. We're not of the world. Amen?
Amen.
All the world is deceived. The world system. He didn't say earth. He says the world, meaning the world system. Okay, then what?
You will not clear them away all at once, for if you did, the wild animals would multiply too quickly for you. Verse 23, but the Lord your God will hand them over to you. He will throw them into complete confusion until they are destroyed. Verse 24, he will put their kings in your power, and you will erase their nations from the face of the earth. No one will be able to stand against you, and you will destroy them all. Verse 25, you must burn their idols with fire, and do not desire the silver or gold with which they are made. Do not take it, or it will become a snare to you, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Verse 26, do not bring any detestable abominations into your home, for then you will be set apart for destruction, just like them. You must utterly destroy such things, for they are set apart for destruction.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Now I have some commentary.
7 verse 6. The people that God chooses have the responsibility to live a holy life. This has a negative aspect. It means that the believer is separated away from the defilement of the world. Of greater importance, it is the positive aspect. It means that we are separated unto God, chosen and set aside for his purposes. We are set apart for wholeness and balance, characteristics we all work toward in the progression of maturity. 7 verse 7 through 8.
Yeah, either you're in the divine or you're not. And in the vine, you still have to mature. You still have to learn the word. You have to increase, just as a tree. A tree doesn't look like it's bearing fruit in the fall or winter, but then it increases. You see the bud, and then you see the flower, and then you see the fruit. And then the fruit has to grow. It gets bigger. Amen?
Amen.
So that matures. Then what?
Why did God choose to treat the Israelites in a special way? Was it because they deserved it? No! Exclamation mark. In fact, in some respects, they deserved it less than others. He chose them as his own because he had promised his loving care to their ancestors, Abraham and his descendants. He treated them kindly because he is a gracious God.
Yeah, and then he also treated them very badly. He treated them for what they deserved. He killed them all, too. So he didn't favor the ones that he killed. Then what else?
God wants us all to be free from bondage, whether we are, quote, good enough, unquote, or not.
He wants you to, but if you don't get free from bondage by following his instructions, then you must be destroyed. Okay? Then what else? But he still wants all the unsaved to be saved, and they don't really deserve it, and they probably won't be. I mean, the Bible says they won't, but he still would like them to be. Amen?
Amen.
That doesn't mean that he's not going to destroy them. Then what else?
If there are any chains binding us, God's loving hands are ready to set us on the road toward freedom. 7 verse 22.
Right, he'll deliver you from the devil if you become a branch in the vine. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Notice that the conquest was to take place a little at a time. God knew that throwing the enemies out of the land had to be followed by immediate rebuilding. He would give his people new territory only when they were ready to move in and take advantage of the conquest. We need to recognize that recovery and maturity is a long-time process. We should not expect immediate success. Instead, we should look for steady progress.
Well, if you're, we should look for steady progress, but I know that from the first step, when you get saved, when you abide in the vine, you'll feel so much progress immediately because you never knew any progress at all before. And it's really a lot, so even though it isn't tremendous as much as the Lord's going to give you as you grow in Him, it's going to be a lot. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I couldn't believe what the Lord just gave me. That's when He gave me signs, wonders, and visions, and He gave me a church. He made me a pastor of a church, a co-pastor with Susie, and He gave me this godly wife. He gave me so many different things. So don't think that He's not going to, you know, if you're really in the vine, that He's not going to give you something. And it seemed like so much I couldn't even hardly contain it all. If He would have given me any more, I probably would have passed out or died or something. It was just overwhelming what He gave me at the beginning. Okay, so it's not a long-term thing. It's a long, you have to mature. It takes time to do that, that's for sure. Okay, then what else?
God gives us victories as we are ready to take advantage of them and build on them. We must trust Him to move us forward according to His timing.
And according as we mature. Because we can't do something that we're not mature enough to do. Okay, then what else? And that's what His time will be, is when we mature. He'll be able to, He wants to use you in a magnificent way faster than you want to mature. If the more you mature, the faster He'll use you. And the more He'll use you. Then what else?
Now going back some, chapter 7, verse 1. This list of nations is traditional and, with minor changes, appears frequently in the Old Testament. Israel was forbidden from entering into any kind of association with them. Each of these seven states was relatively small, but taken together they were large in population and more powerful than Israel. 7 verse 2 through 3. Utterly destroy is a verb derived from the Hebrew noun harem. Bracket, see note on chapter 2, verse 34 through 35, and bracket. These prohibitions were to prevent Israel from endangering its covenant relationship with God. 7, verse 5. The total destruction of these religious items would remove further temptation for Israel to adopt these foreign gods and enter into idolatry.
Well, that's why the Lord tells us to stay away, flee from the very appearance of evil, because it is tempting. And if you allow your soul to be tempted, well, then you will be. So stay away from temptation. You pray, God, keep us from temptation. So if you pray to be taken away from temptation, and then you place yourself in temptation, then what do you expect? When the Bible says, His word says, flee from temptation, from even the very appearance of it. He went away to prepare a place for us, which means if He didn't die, then He wouldn't become the Holy Spirit, and we wouldn't be able to have a place in Him, and He would not be able to be in us. And so He went away, and then people think that He went to make a mansion for us, like He's a carpenter and He's going to build mansions up there. No, it's He's living in us, abiding in us, so we can have the power to overcome all the obstacles here, provided we keep His word, provided we do flee from temptation. But if you just think, well, you're so strong and the power of God is in you so strong, the power of God is only in you so strong because you do flee from temptation, okay? If you don't, the power of God is not going to honor you. You will be tempted. Capisce? Comprende? Capito? Verstehen? All right? That's disobedient to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
The word says flee and you just stay there. That's disobedience. Okay, then what?
7 verse 6. Holy refers to a separated people. Israel was a holy people because of their relationship to God. Their relationship was a result of divine choice, a choice whose essence remains a mystery. Of course, we know that one of the mysteries was that they were smaller in number and in stature, and that they were slaves, and God wanted to show His power by choosing the smaller. 7 verse 12 through 16. Israel's health, prosperity, and success are based upon maintaining the covenant relationship with God.
Yeah, it's what?
Conditional.
Conditional. Not unconditional. It's just based on if they keep the blood covenant. It's always a blood covenant. The blood covenant was shown in Exodus. Amen?
Amen.
You had to kill and put the blood, the sign of the cross, on your door, posts and mantles. Amen?
Amen.
It's a blood covenant. You got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. In other words, just keep the covenant and read the word and do what it says. Flee from the appearance of evil. Eschew evil, like Job said. Amen?
Amen.
Hate it. Okay, then what else?
7 verse 16 through 17.
And Jesus said to hate the devil. You either have to love the devil and hate the Lord, or love the Lord and hate the devil. Amen?
Yeah.
You got to choose what you're going to do here. What you're going to do. Okay, what else?
Success will be the result of God's involvement on their behalf. Their military action was to be without pity, for to spare any part of the enemy would be to open the door for future idolatry. This is a clear example of Israel's being used as God's instrument of judgment, bracket, whom the Lord, dot, 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 over to you, and bracket. Though loving, God is also righteous and must judge those who reject him and his covenant, his commandments.
Those that break covenant with him, because, again, it's a two-way street. You know, we make a covenant with each other. We make a covenant with God. God makes a covenant with us. If we keep covenant, he will keep covenant with us. If we don't keep the blood covenant, we don't drink his blood, we don't keep a covenant with him, he will not. He will definitely leave and forsake us if we leave and forsake him. All right, it's just the deal. That's the deal. He's a Jewish God. He's not a shiksa or a Gentile man or a man that he's going to repent and change his mind. He's a person, but not a man. Amen? And what else?
7 verse 22. The initial conquest of the land would be sudden, but the settlement and complete conquest would be a gradual process. This will allow the Israelites to grow in numbers and to take over the land in an orderly fashion without its reverting to a primitive state. Bracket, lest the beasts, dot, 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 for you, and bracket. 7 verse 25 through 26.
Yeah, lest the beasts overtake you. There'd be so many beasts there, and only a few of you, and the Lord's warned that there's more beasts than you, that could easily come and overtake you. All right? So just do it the way the Lord says. Don't try to rush it. Okay, what else?
7 verse 25 through 26. Under the ban of Harem, bracket, see note on chapter 2, verses 34 through 35, and bracket, the Israelites were to take no possessions from the idolatrous people they defeated, lest they partake of the character and nature of those items. See notes on Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, verses 10 through 12.
All right. Praise the Lord. That was Deuteronomy chapter 7 with commentary. And let's think about that all day long. I mean, the Lord says that we can do nothing away from him, apart from him. So remember to be in the vine all day long, just one day at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Don't think of it as two, because this may be the last day that you're here on earth, and that's all you'd have to do. I know there was a truthful story told about the Nazis were ready to kill all these Jews, and one of them says, and Christians, a bunch of Christians, and they said, any of you recant the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of them, or we're going to kill you right now. So one of them says, I recant. I deny Jesus. I deny Jesus. And so one of the German soldiers say, I'll take his place because I believe in Jesus. And so he went on the firing squad, and they killed the German with all the other Christians and Jews. And then they killed the guy that recanted. So he went right out to hell. And all of them, the other ones, went to heaven. Praise the Lord. So, you know, live one day at a time, and if you're faced with death, there's always people around that want to see if you're going to recant. And they'll lose their souls if you show them that God is not important enough for you to keep the covenant as Christ did to the death. You never know. Chances are that that'll never happen. That never happened to Sue. She died in her bed, and a lot of Christians are dying in their bed. Amen? But we have to prepare ourselves to say, what would we do in case of that? And say, give us, Lord, enough strength if that happens, and give us the state of mind to be praying to you and concentrating on you at a time like that, so that in the event that it happens, they shoot us. It's just like a little cigarette burn for a second, and we're in with you. And I remember when I saw Jesus that I never wanted to be back here. I mean, that they would make my day, my universe time completely, my eternity, if that would happen. Okay? This life is, to anyone that's so dear, we're in the actual junk shop down here. Everything is made out of mud. How could this be so precious that you'd forfeit living in heaven forever and being with the Lord for another year or two or a day or two or a minute or two of this time? I wanted to go immediately. That's the biggest disappointment in my life, when the Lord told me, not yet. But anyway, there's a lot to think about, a lot to concentrate on, a lot to meditate about in Deuteronomy 7th chapter. Amen? So let's do that, and let's stay strong another day, abiding in the vine. For apart from him, we can't do anything. We can't have life. So I know that I ask, you know, that the Lord bless you, but I know he is anyway. If you're doing everything he says, you just heard all the blessings that will come your way. No more disease, no pain, nothing. Plus all the blessings in this life and in eternity in heaven. So just, I'm going to say praise the Lord and amen. Talk to you later. We'll do chapter 8 later on this evening. God bless you. I know he will, because you're doing what he says. You're living in him. And there's no life without him. Amen.